hands away. So there was no such thing as like taking a break or getting to really enjoy my life within these 2 years, because I had to work this job in order to pay my bills at the house, pay my car insurance, and still save up some money just in case the school hit me with another big bill. But definitely happy about this job. And even crazy, it's like while I was still working this job, you know, as the summer approached last year, you know, I got to thinking, you know, I might not want to go back home this summer, but I know I need another job to kind of take care of some things that's going to come up for me. And when I was working on the Gospel Center Life series with Mr. Nyland, he just came to me with this opportunity, and he's like, what are you doing this summer? I was like, you know, I don't really know yet. I might be going back to Jelly Belly. And he's like, well, you know, if you stick around, I might have a job for you. I said, a job? It's like, okay, I might be interested. What is it? She was like, you know, basically, you're going to be a driver at His Way. And I was thinking, driver? I was like, what does that mean? Like, I just have to drive the van around all the time? Then he was like, don't really have the details for you, but we'll get all that worked out. And I remember, you know, I was just like, April, I was praying heavily. I was like, you know, God, just let me get this job. I want to stay. Really want to stay in Huntsville. Don't really want to go back home. And like, you know, lo and behold, you know, I got the job at His Way. And this has just been like a job that, you know, when I first got into it, I didn't really know what to expect. I kind of just looked at it this like Uber driver's perspective, you know, like I just go to work, I get in the car, I try not to be asleep when Mr. Reynolds is walking by, and you know, people just get in the car, I just take them to work, and you know, as I start to really embrace what His Way has been about, it's been a way that's actually helped me as the same way as it's helped the residents, where, you know, I've come in contact with a lot of people going through life, and it just made me realize, you know, there's not really a difference between us. Like, you know, we all are at a place where we're trying to better ourselves every day, and we're trying to figure this thing out. And sometimes, you know, we don't have the right answers, we take the wrong paths, but, you know, thank God for putting people in our lives that get us going back straight. And work this job along with my Frito-Lay job, and you know, when school kind of picked up, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I was getting kind of burnt out. I was pretty much tired all the time, where I was like, man, I only have like 2 hours literally to myself, and I just didn't know how I was gonna make it. And you know, even at that time, I just kind of started praying and just thinking like, man, God, I wish I just didn't have to work at Frito-Lay anymore. If you just take me away from these chips, I'll be fine. And, you know, God ended up making a way. And then even like, you know, currently right now, so, you know, next thing you know, Central's like, you know, Mackie's leaving, campus ministry's getting changed. We think you'll be a good help to the ministry. Would you quit your job at Frito-Lay? Yes. Yes, I would definitely quit my job at Frito-Lay to work in the campus ministry, especially since, you know, the campus ministry just been something that's changed my life, saved my life, and it just means way more to me than a bag of Doritos. So didn't hesitate at that opportunity, and it's just been a great opportunity. You know, I love all the staff. I know sometimes, you know, I'm late to pick up a few documents. I even turned in my senior Sunday documents in late. I apologize, but you know, at least I got the baby picture in there for the people. But I just kind of want to share these things because, you know, a lot of these things encompass like who I've been on my journey, as far as also through my car in there. You know, being a commuter student, being a student that's lived off campus, on campus, an out-of-state student, being a student that's held one job, two jobs, three jobs, while, you know, my main occupation has been my degree. And, you know, it's just, at times, you know, it really was getting rough. But just, you know, sitting back last night in typical college fashion as I was finishing up this PowerPoint at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, I kind of just was so excited it was hard to sleep, to where I just started thinking, you know, God has brought me a long way. And, you know, when I first came to college, and like most people that's probably graduated in high school, probably thinking, you know, I'm gonna get out of college, I'm gonna be 22 years old, I'm gonna go to campus, I'm gonna be the man, I'm gonna get out, I'm gonna find a job immediately, I'm gonna get the money, I'm gonna get the car, I'm gonna get the house, I'm gonna get the wife. And I just wanted to kind of put some of this in here to kind of show, you know, what reality looks like. Because, you know, I'm standing here before, you know, I'm 24 years old now, I'll be turning 25 tomorrow. And, you know, even though it didn't work out kind of that way that I thought it was going to work out, I'm glad it worked out this way. Because this way has led to a life that I never dreamed of, that I could have never imagined. And I'm kind of going to get into that as we go further. So, first thing I wanted to start off with was, you know, obviously, out of all the schools in the country, I chose to go to Alabama A&M University. And, you know, a lot of times I've been at Central, people still ask me, you know, why would you come to California to Huntsville? I don't even know how you heard of this place. And, you know, tell you the truth, didn't really hear about this place, just heard about the school. And the school kind of fit some goals that I had in my mind, being an 18-year-old male, you know, trying to leave his parents' house. So the first thing was, you know, I knew I was going to school far away when I was a sophomore in high school. I knew that for a fact because, you know, I grew up, it was just too conservative for me. I just felt like I'm not having any fun, just working all the time, whether it's painting houses, cutting grass, like, when do I get some me time? So I was like, I'm getting far away. And, you know, I was like, when I leave, you know, there's a couple things that I want to look into. So I got this picture of this basketball with the NCAA there, because when I looked up this school, I was like, man, I could walk onto this school's basketball team, no problem. Just put in the work. I looked at the record. I looked at the people that was here. I was like, yeah, I can make that happen for myself. Probably give me a little scholarship to help me out a little bit, and I'll be on my way. So that was one of the factors that played into me going to school. Then the second thing that I want to point to is, you know, where you see these strobe lights. Where I was thinking, you know, when I was in high school, my parents did not let me go to, like, no parties. Not one. The only thing I had ever been to was 3 proms in a matter of 2 years. So I was just like, you know, once I kind of got that taste of prom, I was like, man, if college is going to be this 10 times, then I'm definitely trying to be a part of that. So I was like, you know, when I go to college, I'm about to live it up. I'm not about to get too crazy, but I'm about to have some fun. I'm about to get that me time. Then I got these pictures of these girls graduating, because I remember when I was 18, I was in high school, and this kind of just lets you guys know where I was at in my life. I was talking to my friends, and I was like, you know, they was, you know, doing all this, you know, military talk and talking about not going to school, and I was just like, man, I'm sorry, that's not for me, because I don't want to hang around a bunch of dudes like that, you know. I'm going to college because that's where the women are going. That is the honest truth. I was like, when girls are going to school, I'm going to school. And that's what it is. And I even remember when I was going around to different colleges, this one table I went to at a college fair, you know, the guy's telling me about the school. He's like, yeah, you know, it's a small school. It's located in Tennessee. And I know one problem that most people have with our school is that, you know, the women to male ratio is 7-1. And I kind of just looked at him. I was like, that's a problem? I was like, It's like, you mean to tell me that somebody is complaining that there's more women than men at the school? No, it's okay, don't worry, I'm gonna apply. So I actually got into that school. Like, no problem, it was easy. And didn't end up going there though, cause did some more research and I was just like, you know, they said this school is known for making preachers. And at the time, I remember my whole life, people was like, you know, you're going to be just like your dad. You're going to be teaching people the word. You're going to be in your Bible. And I was like, no, I don't want any parts of that. Because that was another reason I was going to school far away. Because, you know, at the time, you know, I was done with church. I made up in my mind secretly, you know, I'm not going back to church anymore. I'm going to go to college and I'm just going to be about me. And then the fourth reason I really put here, and this is really why I'm talking about a fourth, because, you know, my degree was not really like the first thing on my mind like most people. I was going to college as a plan B, because in my mind at 18, and I still kind of believe this to this day, I knew I was going to be successful whether I went to college or not, because I know success is relative, and I know, you know, I never wanted to be rich. Only thing I ever wanted to be able to do is, you know, maintain a decent living and be a decent human being inside America. That was it. So I knew I could obtain that whether I had a degree or not. So I was just going to school really for these other three things primarily, to enjoy 18 to 22. So and then another reason why, you know, I chose this school, because even before I came to A&M, I knew it kind of had a bad rep. And I wanted to show people that I would, once again, I'd be successful if I went to this college, no matter what people thought about it, that when I graduate from this college, people would be able to be like, man, that person went to this school, and that's something I still feel like I will continue to go on to do. So I know a lot of people at the time was just, you know, doubting me, thinking I wouldn't really work out, but, you know, so far I'm at step one. Finally about to get that big piece of paper May 3rd. So next, I got three different pictures I took from, you know, Instagram, social media, and I just wanted to dive into a little bit before we get into, like, the main message that I wanted to share that kind of ties in to this story, where, you know, I just want to just kind of talk about a little bit of the beginning. So in this first picture you see, that's me on the right, and that's Lorenzo on the left. And, you know, we both applied to this school at the same time. And I remember in high school, you know, I had got accepted in February. And, you know, Lorenzo hadn't gotten his acceptance yet. But, you know, he still was like, you know, he was going to A&M. That's what he kept saying, even though he hadn't gotten it. And man, it really got all the way into the June. We was graduating, still hadn't got accepted yet. And, you know, he was really like, man, you know, I don't think I'm going to get in. I'm going to have to go to community college. And I was like, man, they go let you in because they let me in. So I remember one day, you know, he calls me. He's like, yeah, you know, I just got a phone call. It was the recruiter. She was like, you know, we don't really know if we can let you get in because you don't really meet our requirements. And then he went on to continue. He was like, you know, but, you know, she stopped and she asked me, she said, but do you want to go to college? And he said, yes, I do. So she said, okay, I'm going to get you in. So it was like, even though he didn't fit the requirements, you know, he still got to A&M. So it was like, you know, that just made our summer that much better. Like, you know, we're going to have fun, and we're going to Alabama. We're getting out of here, and, you know, it's going to be good. And, you know, when I first got here, for me, you know, it was great. I was going out, just playing basketball every day. I was hanging around with, like, a bunch of people. And, you know, college just seemed so fun in the beginning for me. And then, you know, it seemed like every day I was going back to Lorenzo's dorm because he would never leave his dorm, ever. Could not leave because, you know, the culture shock just froze him up. Didn't want to get outside. It was almost like, you know, he was scared to breathe the air. So you know, I'm just coming back every day with a different story. Like, look, man, you got to get out. It's fun out here. You know, this is what we came for. This is what we want to experience. And I even remember in that time, like I told y'all, you know, what I set out to do. So I remember I came to college. I was getting to, like, all the parties for free. I was already in contact with people in Greek fraternities. And just, you know, ended up in a lot of places at the time where, you know, it just kind of made me question a little bit sometimes. Like, man, now I see why my parents didn't let me go out, because it's too much crazy stuff going on right now. Every time I go somewhere, the police is showing up, people getting tased, people getting in fights. I'm like, man, I didn't sign up for this. Like, I just want to have fun. So I'm like, you know, after a while, it just started to dawn on me. And then in this, the next picture you see, where that's one of my close friends, Trey Beverly, who's holding a certificate, the little guy that's next to him, that's Peanut. And I never even knew his real name until we placed membership at Central. Never knew his real name was Devon Lake, but, you know, I still call him Peanut to this day. Then that's our other friend, Josh Simmons, who's also from California. And then that's our other friend, his name is Bone. And I don't know his real name, just always called him Bone. And these are the guys that, you know, that I latched on to when I was doing some of the things that I was doing. And, you know, we just built like a real good friendship and just relating and being so similar to each other in upbringing, you know, trying to just bring some change to our lives but have some fun at the same time. So it's like we was all having this fun without Lorenzo. And it kind of was just making me think, you know, for a minute, you know, I don't even know why Lorenzo came to college. He should have probably just stayed at home until, you know, one day, because Lorenzo was where he was supposed to be. He was inside his dorm. And I was with Peanut and Trey at the mall. We was just at the mall buying some stuff, and we was just like in a group with a bunch of girls. That's where I was. And I get this phone call from Lorenzo like, oh, hey, you know, this church came. They knocked on my door. They said they got free food and basketball. So I said, hold on. I said, hey, Trey, Peanut, we finna go to this church tonight. We finna play basketball, and they got free food. That's what we doing tonight. We're not going out. We're going to that church. So next thing I know, you know, we hop on this white van. And it's a bunch of people getting on this van. And I'm kind of just thinking, all right, you know, cool. This be cool. Free ride to the church. I'm pretty sure I'm about to eat good. Because, you know, I've been going to church when I was in California. So I know how churches get down. So, you know, I showed up to this gym full of people just everywhere. And I know the first thing I was thinking, I was like, ooh, man, I'm about to score 20 points tonight. And then right kind of even before I got into that, they was like, okay, we're about to eat. And like I shared in the memory that Dimitri read, you know, I showed up here, and this was like, I think, like, God just really doing this thing to pull me in. Because, you know, at that time, I spent a lot of days in college starving. I mean, like, really starving, to the point to where, like I said, these are the guys I was hanging with. These are the guys I used to scam Domino's with for large three-topping pizzas. Literally, like, came up with a scheme to be able to basically rip Domino's off for the most premium pizza that we all could get, and we could all have our own. And even in many moments of us not even having any money, just pulling together some coins. And when that McDonald's used to actually be on Meridian, like just taking that walk all the time, whether it was raining, thundering, or lightning, because I was so hungry. And I just couldn't be like everybody else who's like, oh, you know, forget it. Or, you know, their parents got them on allowance and stuff. Didn't have it like that. Just had to make it work. So it was like when I showed up here and I got that plate of food, It just had really touched me to where I was like, man, this has been my first home cooked meal I've had since I've been away from home. And really, really meant a lot to me. And, you know, as the night continued, you know, Mackie got up there. He started speaking, and it just really got me thinking about my life and what I had been going through while I was in school, where I was thinking, you know, all the stuff that I thought that I wanted my college experience to be about just got old quick. I was just like, you know, I go out all the time, I see the same people all the time, and it's not amounting to anything. And even as far as school was concerned, it was just so easy. Like, I was just showing up, literally, like, just doing all the work in like 5 minutes, going back to my room to go to sleep. And, you know, I would come back, I was getting A's. So I was just like, man, this is not what I thought it would be like. And then, you know, one day I just got to thinking, like, you know, God, even though I hadn't been to church, I was like, you know, God, please show me that this is not all that life has to offer. Please show me that I can mean something, that I could do something that matters. And like, you know, a couple months after that, after going to a lot of the Bible studies on Mondays, you know, I woke up one day as Lorenzo and Trey was telling me, look, we about to get baptized tonight. We about to get baptized. I'm like, good, because y'all need it. So, you know, I'm going to go get on the van. I'm going to support y'all. You know, it's like 9 other people with them. And they was all getting baptized too. And I got to the church and, you know, it was in this moment where I was just off by myself and I just started thinking, like, after I had been going to these studies and after I knew what I knew, like, I needed to make a change for myself. I needed to know for a fact that I was going to have my own relationship with God. And I remember I had pulled Jay Hill to the side, and I was like, look, I need to get baptized. And, you know, he started asking me, you know, am I ready to change my mind? Am I ready to make Jesus the Lord of my life? You know, am I cut to the heart by what I've been doing? And I was, you know, I was fully convicted. And I was like, yes. You know, I got in that water November 11th. And, you know, from there, it was just the greatest decision I could have made when I was in college. And I know without that, I'd probably still be lost. And I wouldn't even be here before you. And it's just like a testament even to this next picture that I posted, because that's us in our first retreat with the CSO. And, you know, the caption reads, you know, college has taken us places we couldn't dream of. You know, shout out to my brothers. And, you know, for those that don't even know, that Trey is from California, but that he had never been to a beach before. And, you know, I didn't even want to go on this trip at first. They was calling me so much to say, you can go, don't let money be an option. And, you know, the one greatest takeaway I did have from the trip, and Josh that you see in that next picture, Josh ended up getting baptized on the beach. And it was because we had a conversation when he later told me, where we were sitting down talking, he was like, look, man, everything that they teaching us, you know, it's making sense to me. I'm ready to change my life. I'm ready to turn around, but I'm gonna wait till I get back home to get baptized. And, you know, at that moment, just being a person I was like, man, I'm gonna tell you something, man. If you're saying that everything that you heard is true, then why would you wait to go back home to change your life, if this is really what you want? And you need your own relationship. And you still gonna be a Christian whether your parents see you get baptized or not, whether you think it needs to be this specific church or not. What you need to be focused on is just making sure that you're doing what God wants you to do. And, you know, he came back later and he said, you know what, man, if we wouldn't have that talk, I wouldn't have gotten that water. And that was just like one of the biggest takeaways for me, you know, and kind of that beginning journey. And I just kind of wanted to share that, guys, with you to kind of get to the main message, because I know a lot of people are thinking, like, you know, we came to church, you know, where's the scripture? So I got it. So I wanted to share a small little thought I've been having about Matthew 14. I'm actually going to start from 25, verse 25 to 33. And I just wanted to encourage us all to just, you know, keep walking to Jesus. And, you know, it reads, you know, surely before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And, you know, I've been thinking about this scripture for, you know, for about a long time, like over some years, really. And then I even had a paper I took out my safe, because this was the first lesson that I actually put together back in 2012. Just thinking, like, one day, you know, if I share something with somebody, this is what I want to share. And I remember the first person that I actually shared this with, you know, was my father. As soon as I got back home, Christmas break, because, you know, I was just, like, on fire. I was like, you know, I've been in the Bible. I've been reading. You know, God's been, he's been helping me. You know, this is about the first time I ever seen my dad cry in front of my face, where he was just like, "You know, son, you know, I just feel so happy to just see what God is doing in you, and to know that my son is, you know, is right with God." And, you know, it was just a very good, you know, moment for me and my dad at the time. But, you know, kind of what I want to get into, and, you know, just and keep walking, you know, the first thing I want to say, and this would probably be for, you know, those that are younger who are getting out of high school. And like I said, you're kind of leaving that adolescent stage behind, and you're kind of going to get more freedom to kind of, you know, make your own decisions, where people are going to be like, you know, if that's kind of what you want to do now, that's what you do. And the first thing that I wanted to say was, you know, make sure you find a church. Let God feed you. And, you know, for me, you know, that was a big part of the reason why I hadn't changed in the beginning when I was in school. Because, you know, my parents kept calling me every Sunday, like, "Oh, you going to church? You found a church?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to look next week." And I just hang up the phone and I go right back to sleep. And even at that time, it was like, in not going to church, and, you know, a passage that I used to read with Demetri a lot, I believe it was 2 Peter chapter 2, where he was always saying, you know, "I need to crave spiritual milk." You know, I was just feeling weak on the inside because, you know, my spirit wasn't getting fed. And even in some of the ways I listed to feed your spirit, man, you just go pray, you know, get in the word, do your best to stay away from worldly ways. And, you know, ultimately, you know, in typical college fashion, it's like Jesus has your meal plan. Jesus knows, you know, the nutrition that you need that's going to build you up and get you strong for your journey and walking towards him. And going back to that plate of food at my first FNL that touched me so much, you know, thinking, you know, physically at that moment, you know, I found a church and they fed me, you know, and it was like for the first time in a long time I walked away and I got to go to sleep content. And a lot of times that's how I feel when, you know, I start thinking about God and I start participating in these different activities I've listed, where it's like, you know, I feel content, I feel happy, I feel good. I don't feel like I'm wanting for much. And then the next thing that I want to share is, you know, don't let the wind stop you. Because, you know, it mentioned in the passage, you know, it says Peter saw the wind. And in my mind, you know, it's just making me think, you know, him seeing the wind, it made him create some type of doubt in himself. Like, how could I overcome an obstacle like that? Like, can I really be walking on the water to God? Is this really possible? And just going into the next step, I just wanted to share, you know, for us, that's why, you know, sound doctrine is a must to know for yourself what is right. Because, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're looking for is it's in the Bible. History hasn't changed so much to where the Bible is outdated. It's still perfectly fitting for any time that we're in. So it's like if we get in it and we really, like, apply it to our lives, we're going to know what we're capable of. And for those of that are in it, we know that, you know, with God, we can accomplish anything if it's his will. Because you even see out there in the passage, you know, Peter's like, God, if it's Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus is like, come. That was in his will for Peter to get out that boat and to walk on the water to him. So it's just like, we just got to know for ourselves what's right. Then the second thing I listed, you know, was, you know, Christian friends. You know, there's accountability and strength in numbers. And I know in my walk, you know, in the beginning of that time when, you know, I was fortunate enough to get baptized with my best friend who I knew since eighth grade, and then my other close friend, Trey. I was fortunate enough to get baptized with them that same day. And, you know, in that walk, as we started to go on, you know, it was easy to hold each other accountable, you know, to where it was like, you know, we're going to start doing everything together. And when we start getting ready for church, we're going to get ready for church together. We're going to make the phone calls before Dimitri got to call us and say, look, man, you up? All right, make sure you're walking out. We're about to get on this van together. You know, when we ate at the table together. And, you know, everybody already kind of knew what we was about when we made that shift. Because, you know, before, when I was on campus, everybody knew us as the Cali Boys. That everybody pretty much knew, man, when the Cali Boys was together, it was going to be a good time. And, you know, once we really started shifting our lives, you know, to FNL, to Central, like, it became a good time at Central to where, you know, now when we start going on these mall trips where, you know, we was just going to just go, you know, flirt with women, it was like, you know, oh, y'all should come to FNL tonight. That's where we going to be at. When we started going to the CAF, you know, getting to these conversations with different people, people just started to get challenged by how much we had changed. I remember one guy was just getting so mad at us for being saved to where, like, he just ended with this statement where he was like, you know what? Well, if God is out there, he know my heart. He know I'm a good person. And then, you know, I just remember walking away from some of those moments just thinking, like, man, you know, God is really working in us. And lastly, I put in there, you know, you don't have to walk alone. I know a lot of times, you know, especially when you become a commuter student, you know, college, you know, you just get so secluded because it's just you. It's like, you know, leave my job, go to school, go to my class, go back home or go to work. And you just start getting to this place where, you know, you're just so by yourself because, you know, when you're not living that campus life, you're not meeting as many people as you would before. You're not exposed to a bunch of people. And you start thinking you got to do everything by yourself. And even in being a commuter student, you know, I realized, you know, it was a good thing that I did move into Covenant House and not get my own apartment because, you know, I got placed in a place where at least all the people that lived there, they was going to Central. Most of the people that went there, they had graduated from A&M. And so it was like when I was coming home, you know, I was, you know, with Jay Hill and Dio in the basement just praying or just reading some scriptures together. To where it's like, you know, I didn't have to feel so by myself. And even like before, like I said, with my set of friends, it was like, man, we just started doing everything together. Even to the point to where, you know, Peanut, who he didn't get baptized here, but he hung with us so much. Everybody literally thought he was from California. And he's from Cuba, Alabama, which is like a small city down at the bottom of Alabama. But, you know, he was around us so much, and what we had going on, everybody was like, look, he got to be doing what they're doing because he always with him. And I was just, you know, good even that moment of time for him to be around us and not getting into what he could be getting into. And then lastly, I just want to list, you know, you don't have to sink. And, you know, this part just speaks a lot to me because, like I said, that place where I was at when I was in college, I was like, man, life got to be about more than this. It can't just be this. This is not enjoyable. This is not enough for me. And, you know, it was at that moment where I was like, you know, I'm sinking. I'm really sinking. And, you know, like I share with y'all, you know, I just said, God, you know, just show me that I could do something that matters. Show me that life has more to offer than this. So, you know, essentially in this next point, you know, I called his name. And like it says in that passage, you know, Peter, he began to sing. He said, "Lord, save me." And he reached out his hand immediately, and he saved him. And I just feel like at that moment, that's what God started doing, did for me when I called his name. And ultimately, like Acts says, when I really called his name, when I got baptized in the baptistry at 407 Clinton Avenue, I called on his name when I put on Christ. And it's been a very powerful thing in my life. And for those, this last point really speaks to if you really want some change, if you're in a place where you think, you know, I'm sinking, life's not really going right, you know, and you want to get right with God, you don't have that relationship with God, you just need to know, man, there's power in the blood of Jesus. And that's about, out of all these points, pretty much sums up all this stuff right here. There's power in the blood of Jesus to where that, for Christ to actually, you know, lay down his life, you know, for somebody like me that was like, you know, I just want to make my life about myself. I just want to make my life about getting women. I just want to get out of school, you know, just do my own thing because I felt like my parents was holding me back, you know, just to be very, I was just very arrogant back then. And I still have some of those ways now that I'm trying to work on, but it's like, I remember when I first came to Central, I used to pray so much for humility on my blue cards. I actually Googled myself and my blue cards would come up and they'd have those, "Please God, allow me to be humble." So I was just like, man, I'm telling you, man, it's just the greatest thing that you could have. And just like, I just know by, you know, staying in church, not letting the wind stop me, you know, I didn't have to sink. And some other ways that I've stayed in the church by not just being another, you know, number. You know, I've got plugged up with the college ministry. And, you know, kind of even later on, like the first teaching opportunities I had was teaching inside the youth ministry. I was teaching the teens. And even at first, you know, it seemed like one of the hardest things for me to wrap my mind around because it was like, I don't know whether the teens are like what I say or not because everybody's just so blank. I don't know what's working. And then it was just like, you know, I just remember like next year thinking when Rodney came back and asked, you know, do you want to teach again? I was thinking, yeah. And I was, you know, first thing I did when I started my first lesson, when I came back the second time, I was like, well, I guess you guys like me because you invited me to come back. But, you know, I was thankful for that. You know, I even went on to, you know, go to Impact with them, work with the Hands Feet Work Camp where, you know, along with them, I got to serve the community in Huntsville. You know, I got to get out there and really do God's work. And even in that, like I said, in this point of just accountability and strength in numbers, it just exposed me to just more opportunities, more Christians, and just even, you know, got me thinking of this concept. It's like, man, if I surround myself with so many people, how much wind can get me? Can I even see wind if I'm just surrounded by so many people that's busy for doing what God wants them to do, to where I don't have to create these doubts? To even, you know, when I, you know, started door knocking and I was thinking, oh man, I'm just knocking a door by myself. How am I gonna be able to do that? I just started thinking, I can't. But you know, it's like when I first started off, you know, Dimitri and like Al was standing next to me showing me how to do it. You see, that doubt went away. Cause I seen I had other people next to me, you know, walking the walk. They were just still walking. And it's been like good examples for me to have. And you know, kinda as I get to wrapping this up, I wanted to share two pictures that kind of just, you know, mean a lot to me. And one of them is like recent, but the other one is just a crazy time. And I remember I used to be very embarrassed about this photo, but I just started looking at it yesterday and I just had a different perspective on it. So, you know, this picture right here is me graduating high school in 2012. And, you know, I'm sitting here crying. That's my mom and my dad right there. And, you know, I was just thinking, like, man, why would somebody take a picture of me crying? And everybody's going to think I'm just soft. And I just lost all my cool points because I'm crying at graduation. But, you know, I looked back at this photo, and I remember, man, a week before this graduation, you know, I kind of got into an argument with my dad. I wasn't really feeling what he was saying. You know, I really just literally ran out my door, ran out my house. And I know there was this bridge with this creek that had a bunch of rocks at the bottom. And, you know, I grabbed onto that fence, and I was thinking, man, I'm about to jump this fence, and I'm about to jump into this creek with these rocks. And that's going to be it. I don't got to go through none of this. All this stuff that people saying to me, it's not even going to matter. Life will be over at this point. And it was just like, man, even at that time, like I said, in my life, man, I fully hadn't even found God yet, but I've been going to church. You know, but I held onto that fence a little longer as I was crying at that fence, thinking, you know, this is really about to be it for me. And just had a moment where this thought popped in my mind where I was just like, you know what? The devil would want me to end my life right now. And to stop me at the time, you know, I was about to graduate in a week, stop me from accomplishing something that, you know, I worked hard for. And, you know, just really got me to thinking because my mom is near and dear to my heart. Like, I knew, you know, that would really break my mom's heart. You know, instead of going to my graduation, she'd be going to my funeral the next week. And, you know, that's kind of what just got me, you know, to the original message, you know, just you just keep walking because you just never know what's gonna happen. And, you know, this picture just fully shows me that, you know, my life is not about me at all. Because it's like, in that moment of me deciding not to commit suicide, you know, I've gone on to do some great things. Like I said, man, I went to that beach retreat, didn't even want to go. Had one simple conversation with one of my friends from California. He ended up getting baptized. You know, even like after this assembly, you know, I'm about to go to the Guyana meeting because, you know, I'm interested in going back because, you know, I had an opportunity 2 years ago where, you know, I was preaching the gospel in another continent. And, you know, I had teens just like looking up to me and just looking at me, just thinking like, you know, wow. And, you know, I didn't think of myself a lot like that in high school. I never really thought, wow, about myself. But it's like even now when I'm at Central and like every teen I come in contact with that knows me, I'm just like, wow, I'm happy to see you. I'm happy to see you in here. You know, I'm happy you're not like how I was when I was always sleeping and I wasn't inside these doors. You know, and I was just sleeping my life away. I was sleeping my purpose away. Like, I'm glad to see you. And I wouldn't even have met some of the incredible people that I met at this church, man, that just, you know, kind of restored my faith in humanity. Because, you know, I don't really know about most people, but, you know, for me and just coming from 18 to 19, I was thinking, you know, not too many people care about each other. But, you know, I could never say that about this place. Like, this is still, like I said, a lot of people think Disneyland is the happiest place on earth, but for me, this is the happiest place on earth. I've never seen so many people willing to love so many people that they don't know. Just a foreign concept to me. And then sometimes it just still is the thing, you know, man, people barely know me, but they care about me. You know, I'm sitting up here at his way. I'm driving another man to work. And somebody is telling me, you know, a 24-year-old young man, you know, I'm glad I met you. I'm glad I talked to you. I'm glad we had this talk. You know, and I used to tell Daryl Floyd all the time, you know, in the beginning, like, you know, I'm just a driver. You know, it was like, no, you know, you're more than a driver. You're more than staff. You're a spiritual counselor when you're here. You're helping our residents, you know, see that it's possible. You know, I'm thankful for his way giving me the opportunity. And this next picture that I want to share is like, you know, the biggest reason why we all need to keep walking. That's me, Longy, and that's Tui. And I remember that day, I was just at home doing nothing. Darren was on Instagram saying we flying a kite. And I was thinking, you know, I don't even know how to fly a kite. And I just commented on her. I was like, man, y'all should teach me. He was like, come out. So I drove to South Huntsville. I flew the kite for a little bit. Then I had to start playing with the guys because I can't really take two steps without people jumping on me and saying, pick me up, piggyback ride, all this stuff. But, you know, the main reason I wanted to share this picture is, you know, like me, for most of y'all, the reason why you need to keep walking in Christ is because it's people watching you. Your kids are watching you. Your wife's watching you. Your husband's watching you. Your coworkers are watching you. Your classmates, they're watching you. Everybody about to graduate, they're watching you. They're literally watching to literally see what type of person you are, to see if they really want to get a grasp of this life, to see if it's worth getting out that boat and walking to Jesus. That's literally what's happening every time we walk out these doors. And that's literally why, like, even more than ever, like I always start off at the beginning, like, you know, so we got to stay in the church. We can't let the wind stop us. We can't let obstacles get in the way. We can't just start sinking and, you know, not taking initiative to save ourselves, because it's like, ultimately, you know, when we go out, man, and me saying before, you know, life is not about us. Life is about everybody else. Jesus literally came here and embodied that to say, you know, life is not about me. Life is about everybody else, even the people that I don't know, even the people that don't like me, even the people that want to kill me. That's what life is about. And, you know, since I've been here and I've been interacting with the Husseins, it's just been like a good experience for me, because a lot of the times, you know, when I'm with like Tui and Longi, you know, we doing our handshake, it's like, man, once again, you know, my faith in humanity is restored, because, you know, I got an opportunity where it's like, man, two people, like, literally look at me like, wow, this person can pick me up. This person is just, like helping us have fun. You know, in many ways, man, if you just want to just flip it around, man, that's how God is for us. God is like, wow. And that's how we are with God. It's like, man, God can pick me up. God can save me. God can turn my life around. God can turn other people's lives around. And this is my last slide, but I knew that in also in closing, really, as I get done, because they told me 30 minutes. I don't know how long it's been. I really apologize. I do. If I'm going over time, I do. But, you know, I just wanted to share this message today and just saying, you know, first and foremost, you know, I'm thankful for God for saving my life. You know, I realize, like, now, really, like, the main reason why I came to Alabama A&M was because God had appointed that time for him to reach me here so I can get saved. And when I thought that I was running away from God, I literally was running right towards his arms. I literally was like, man, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to party. I'm going to just have fun. I'm not going to church. I'm not about to be like my dad. I'm not about to be standing in front of people teaching about Jesus. I'm not doing none of that. And, like, literally just started thinking, like, I'm going the opposite way of that, but I was going the right way to that. And it just ended up being, like, one of the best things for me. So I do want to say that. Then next, you know, I had, like, a few people that I definitely had to thank while I was up here since I've been on this journey. First, I wanna thank the CSO, especially Dimitri Mackey, who's not here, but, you know, they poured a lot into me. They poured a lot into me, and they just stepped in at a time when, you know, I didn't really have nobody and I couldn't depend on too many human beings. That's or even a reason why you see, I've been having so many jobs, because I'm just like, man, I just can't let too many excuses get in the way. I got to get things done. But these people been here since the beginning of my journey, just helping me get right. And even like through our disagreements and my arguments with them, like, you know, I love them dearly. And then, you know, next, I know the Browns is not here because they had to go to Utah because their daughter's getting surgery, so we could be in prayer for that as well. But definitely wanted to thank them, because, you know, Miss Sandra's done nothing but love me since I've been here. And, you know, She knows. I literally consider her like my grandma, and she mentions that to me like often. Like a lot of the stuff she says to me, like I listen. You know, sometimes when I'm even just there to go meet Mr. Brown and I got more time, I just sit down and start having a conversation with Miss Sandra and just start learning so much. And then I also wanted to thank Mr. Brown, who, like, I know in a lot of ways, like, he doesn't notice, but he's, like, filled, like, a vital void that I've had in my life for a minute, because I lost my grandfather when I was 11. And my grandfather was, like, the coolest thing to me. And there was never a time when he wasn't there for me, when he didn't have advice that wouldn't help me. And, you know, since I've been here and I became a Christian, man, Mr. Brown has been exactly that for me, as well as my brother in Christ. Like this, like literally, like I don't even know where I would be without Mr. Brown, because I really like listen to a lot of the stuff he says. He's about the wisest person that I'm in contact with on a daily basis. And so a lot of times I don't just come to him on, like, you know, because I'm the house manager of the Covenant House, you know, we just come to talk about life. And I just come to get those stories. And I just come to talk to him about a lot to get myself picked up. I wanted to thank His Way for first and foremost providing me with an opportunity to not go home last summer. You know, helping me accomplish my goals and paying for school, my livelihood, but also, you know, giving me a new set of responsibilities and a new set of people to be trying to help see that, you know, God is working, God is alive, God is there. And it's just been a great job. It's been one of the jobs that I can't really compare it to any other job, because it's just like, it's literally encompassed a lot of the stuff that I want in real life that I won't really be able to find when I go work for a real company, man. I won't be able to work for a place that's just spiritually driven just 100% of the time, you know? Even like I said, some of the conversations I get to have with some of these residents and some of the stuff that they teaching me or that I'm teaching them, it's like, man, I'll never be in contact with these people if it wasn't for His Way. And, you know, I'm proud to be working for them. And I've just seen a lot of things change that they've done in the community. And then I know that's really what I want to be about. So I'm thankful for His Way. And I know two more people I want to thank, then I'm going to sit down. I want to thank Jonathan Dean. He's not here. Him. He played a very, very big part of my role in the beginning of my Christian walk, you know, just, you know, sewing into me, buying me different materials, praying for me over my phone, emailing me, checking in on me, and just showing me what, you know, a good Christian man looks like when he's taking care of his family. I appreciate that. Then lastly, I really want to thank the Pickens for helping me, like, really, like, see that God is still here, because as you know, last year I did the Gospel Center Life Series, and like the last day we taught was a Wednesday. I believe that was March 16th, and March 17th, you know, turned around 7:30, I got in a car accident on 565, and even as I was kind of sitting there, I was just thinking, there's no way, you know, my body's gonna work, none of that. And I kind of walked away from that car accident with just four scratches, but, you know, ultimately once life set in, I was like, man, you know, I don't have a car. How am I going to get to school? How am I going to get to work? You know, how am I going to pay for another car that's actually going to work for the duration of my school year? And just, you know, through God putting me at the right place at the right time, you know, the Pickens just ended up, you know, helping me out with that situation. And just a lot of times I get in my car, I just can't even believe it. I'm really thankful. I just get in my car a lot and I'm just like, this is just crazy to think that, you know, I would get in a car accident after I just got done teaching God's people. Never thought that would happen. Then wreck my car, but then turn around and get a car that was completely better than the car that I wrecked. Like, only God could do something like that. And I know Lecrae just said this lyric I was listening to last week where he was like, you know, God makes your life a masterpiece regardless. And when I look back on my life and some of the things that I was into, it was just like, man, God, he's still painting a pretty good picture of me through some of the craziness and the foolishness that I participated in. And he's made me like a good member of Huntsville, a good brother to my family, a good son to my family, you know, a good brother in Christ to the place where I fellowship at Central Church of Christ. And I know for a fact I would have never graduated college if it wasn't for God, because I thought about quitting a lot of times, you know, but I kept walking, and I want to encourage you to keep walking. And the elders will come up and will offer invitation to you if you feel like, you know, you need to walk to God and change your life and see what it's like to be in the right relationship with him.